UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
The UAB Medicine Department of Advanced Practice Providers is responsible for the oversight of all advanced practice providers within the health system. Today, we're speaking about the purpose and process of credentialing and privileging of APPs at UAB and the pitfalls of role misalignment. My guest today is Catherine Brown. She's the Executive Director of Advanced Practice Providers at UAB Medicine. Welcome to the show, Catherine. So what's been done in the past? Tell us a little bit about credentialing process for advanced practice providers versus MDs.
So in the past, if you go back to the beginning when advanced practice first started at UAB, and there were a very small handful of us, there was no credentialing process at all. We were strictly hired through HR, background checks like any other employees, and that would be it. About 10 years ago, we began rigorous credentialing similar to that of the physicians, but not identical because advanced practice licensure and governance is a little bit different than it is for physicians. We've been working for about 10 years rigorously vetting folks before we extend privileges, bring them into the system. But as of just a couple of months ago, our revision of our bylaw process here within the medical center is changing that. And so now our advanced practice folks will not only go through the advanced practice credentialing committee with the same rigor that we had previously, but they will also be vetted through the physician credentialing committee and then go on to our medical executive committee and the board of directors for approval. All of that has to take place before privileging occurs.
So what would you like to tell other medical institutions about the credentialing bylaws and their state regulations and how this whole process works?
Well, it's pretty convoluted when you're looking at advanced practice. And so it's not easy to wade through that, but it is critical that you do so. You can't just focus on the bylaws of your institution and ignore the state regulation, nor can you just look to the state regulation and ignore your own internal bylaws. No matter where you're in practice, whether it's in the state of Alabama or elsewhere, you first need to start with what is the regulation of practice within your state. PAs are regulated a little differently than nurse practitioners or clinical nurse specialists, clinical nurse midwives. They're all regulated slightly differently within our state and state. That is going to give you really what your maximum scope is under your state law. Then you've got to look at your own institution's bylaws. Your bylaws within the institution can be more restrictive than what you see at the state level, but not more liberal in granting of privileges than what occurs at the state level. So before you get ready to establish a credentialing process, you've got to understand both of those things. Just because the state will allow an advanced practice provider to do a certain skill set doesn't mean that your institution agrees with that and wants to offer that as a privilege. So you really have to understand both of those before you sit down to begin that credentialing process. The credentialing process is critical. Without it, we can't assure our patients that are coming to be treated in our facility that we have adequately vetted to make sure that we've got someone there providing care for them that has the credentials that they say they have, who is safe and appropriate to take care of care, and that they're doing the types of procedures that we within the institution want to grant them the privileges to do.
So what about nurse practitioners and their role alignment? So what's changing there?
So when we talk about role alignment, there's a lot of ways that you could speak about that. But most of the time when we're referring to role alignment, we're talking specifically about nurse practitioners because their training is different from that of a physician assistant. So most of the time when you hear people throwing that term around, they're not talking about the PAs at all. Role alignment for the PA would be scope of practice, and so that would be a different terminology. When we're talking about role alignment for NPs, we're really talking about what is their training, and their training means during graduate school, not what you taught them to do post-graduation when they began to come and work alongside a physician and essentially apprentice with a physician and learn a new skill set, a new disease management. That's not what we're talking about when we talk about training. We're really talking about what track of training did they enter when they first started graduate school. So when an NP or a nurse is getting ready to enter an NP program, they've got to decide up front, are they going to go the family practice track, acute care medicine, adult, pediatrics, women's health, psychiatry? Those are really the larger buckets that they fit into. An NP is not an NP is not an NP. They're not just interchangeable. When you enter a program of study, so if you enter as a family nurse practitioner, there is a set, you know, way to matriculate through the didactic material and through the clinical training that accompanies that. And then when you graduate, you sit for your national certification exam, and that certifying body has established an exam that psychometrically evaluates the graduate to determine if they have the competency to practice in that specialty area. It does not make a nurse practitioner a generalist, where they could then be hired by any physician in any area of practice and just be trained how to execute that role.
So why all these changes? And so speak a little bit about that alignment that you're mentioning with nurse practitioners, different than the scope of practice for physician assistants. This alignment of the credentials with role alignment, why these changes, why it's such an important part of the healthcare system today?
So the structure of the training program for nurse practitioners has been this way for quite some time now. 20 years ago, though, when you would enter, say, in the family practice track, there was not so much governance of where did you get your clinical hours. And so you could train with what we might call like an old school physician who not only had, you know, patients that he managed in clinic, but would then admit those same patients and manage those in the acute care setting. And so someone in training with a physician in that type of practice would kind of go back and forth across the street, so to speak, from the inpatient setting to the outpatient setting, and would have a broader skill set when they graduated because of the type of clinical hours that they had. There was really less oversight initially of that, and so the industry got into this situation where people came out of school and were looking for, you know, really kind of the first job out there, the first job available. And there really wasn't a focus on role alignment. The concern is now, though, that you really are getting into legal risk for your institution when you have a role misalignment. Now the graduate programs do an excellent job of oversight of their trainees and where they're training and the types of hours that they're getting to make sure that their clinical training matches with the didactic training that they're getting in their program. And so their greater focus on that now really creates a situation where you can't take someone who's role misaligned and just teach them on-the-job skills. That's not equivalent to their training. Taking someone out of school and giving them 6 months, 12 months, 18 months of additional training does not now make a primary care trained individual competent to manage patients in the acute care setting. Competency is established on the national level by that national certification exam that we sit for. And then, of course, ongoing competency has to be evaluated within your institution. But it's not enough to establish competency strictly by that one-on-one training. Really, it would be similar to taking a neurologist and saying he knows a lot about the brain, so we're going to hire him to work in the Department of Psychiatry as a psychiatrist. It's not the same thing. Their training is not the same. Their skill set and their competency to manage that patient population is not the same.
So, Catherine, wrap it up for us about some of the new recommendations pertaining to APP credentialing and role alignment, what you want other institutions and the physicians and APPs within the UAB medical system to understand about this credentialing and role alignment and why these changes are just so important.
So within the last 10 years, when this became really kind of an increasing discussion at the national level, we made the decision here at UAB to grandfather all of our primary care trained folks who were working in an acute care setting, which is where you have the greatest misalignment of their roles. We decided then to grandfather those folks. The National Council of State Boards of Nursing, where all of our boards of nursing come together with 50 representatives across the country, they really felt like several years back that the ongoing professional performance evaluation, or what we call OPPE, that tool should help us determine whether we have competency for an individual or not. So assuming that we have no competency with our current staff, we've grandfathered those. However, we do not allow people to transfer out of their current role to another role that's misaligned, nor do we continue the practice of hiring individuals into misaligned roles. I'd really recommend that all institutions adopt that practice. There's too much legal risk attached to that. And you have to consider, who do you want managing your patients? Those with the proper credentials or those that are role misaligned?
Really, such great information. Very important to understand, and you explained it so well, Catherine. Thank you so much for being with us today. And a community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.